Okay, so today we're going to talk about a special woman in the Bible. She's special for God, even though she wasn't really special for many, many people in those days. She has no name in the Bible. There was no name given to her. She is a woman that was despised by many people, but she was loved by Jesus. She understood her way to salvation. She didn't let labels or judgments or any bad look stop her from what she wanted to do. This woman was special, even though her reputation wasn't that good. She was known as the sinful woman in the Bible. So there was a reason why Jesus wanted her to be in the Bible. There's a reason why she needed to be there, because there's something about her that we need to learn. And so that's why I'm bringing her up tonight, because this woman was worth being in the Bible. And so God chose her to teach us a lesson. And she's a perfect example of godly repentance. So that's what we're going to focus about tonight. We're going to focus about a heartfelt repentance, a real change, a heartfelt change. So I want to show you a video, a little movie clip of the Jesus of Nazareth movie.
What's the matter? Did you see that woman?
Yes, yes.
That's the horse, I would
say. Yes, yes, it's her. What is she doing? She's defiling him.
This is no place for you, woman. Come, leave quickly.
Simon, sit down.
But Rabbi, you know what kind of a woman this is.
Simon, please. Simon, when I came into your house, you didn't pour water over my feet, or kiss me in greeting, or anoint my head with oil. She has washed my feet with her tears, and dried them with her hair, and anointed them. Daughter, your sins, and I know they are many, are forgiven you because of the greatness of your love.
Only God can forgive sins, no man.
Your faith has saved you. Go and sin no more.
Thank you, honey. How emotional, right? That's a scene that's so captivating, so emotional, especially for us as women. We're very in touch with our feelings, and it's such a hard. I want us to read it from the Bible too. Let's go to Luke 7:36-50. Okay, it says, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral woman from that city heard that he was eating there, she brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Then she knelt behind him and at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner. Then Jesus answered his thoughts. Simon, he said to the Pharisee, I have something to say to you. Go ahead, teacher, Simon replied. Then Jesus told him the story. A man loaned money to two people, 500 pieces of silver to one and 50 pieces to the other, but neither of them could repay him. So he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. Who do you suppose loved them more after that? Simon answered, I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. That's right, Jesus said. Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, look at this woman kneeling here. When I entered your home, you didn't offer me water to wash the dust from my feet. But she has washed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time I first came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet with rare perfume. I tell you, her sins, and there are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. Then Jesus said to the woman, your sins are forgiven. The men at the table said among themselves, who is this man that he goes around forgiving sins? And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. This is an amazing story of how Jesus saw a heart that was ready, that was surrender, that was completely submissive, and he was, without her words, he was so willing to forgive her. He told her, daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. There's so many things that we can learn from this story, but I brought out three aspects of this woman that I want us to study together. One of the first things that I want us to look at is for us to have that godly repentance demands a posture of surrender. That's the first point. We have to have that posture of surrender. She came in. It was not her house. She was not welcome there. She came in and straight down to his feet. She knew that she was wrong. She knew that she was guilty. She was tired of the depressive life. She was tired of the finger pointing at her. She was a woman that had lived a bad life, had made many, many bad choices. But at this point, she was ready to surrender. She had recognized that she had done wrong before God. She saw that she was guilty. She saw that she had to do something about it. And she found out that Jesus was around. She found out that she was at Simon's house. She was excited about that. Her heart was so completely willing to go there. And she showed that real repentance. When we surrender, we realize who we are. When we surrender, we give up all our rights that we think that we have. We give up emotional control to God. We give up the finances to God. We give all our health and family and all our plans to God because he knows what he's doing, and we realize that we're not good enough. When we surrender, our attitude is totally different. When we surrender, we pray a lot. We ask for advice. When we surrender, we're so focused on God, what God wants in our lives, not about what we want for our lives. We wonder, what does God want for me to do in this situation? Not about, I don't feel like doing that. That just doesn't feel good. But instead, we're like, what does God want me to do? Is it going to glorify Him? Is it going to make Him happy? Is He going to say, good daughter? Or is it, oh, that's too hard. I'm really not going to go there because I don't really want to deal with this stuff. It's too hard. You know what I mean? How we get sometimes, we're very defensive. We're kind of like, you know what I mean? Instead of saying, God, what do you want me to do? That's a surrender heart. How are we doing with our surrender? Some of us have been disciples for many years. Some of us are baby Christians. Some of us are studying the Bible. But how is your surrender at any level? The surrender doesn't stop. The surrender has to be increasing every time, because without surrender, then Jesus is not Lord. You are Lord of your own life. And when we signed up to be disciples, we said Jesus is Lord. So repentance demands a posture of surrender. Another example of surrender is when in Matthew 26, when Jesus knew that He had to die. Remember that scripture? And He said, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He was like totally surrendered to God. He was like, God, I know what's going to come. I know the pain I'm going to go through, and I know the humiliation, but if you want me to, I'm going to do this. Surrender. Let's think about how surrender are we. If we're not there, this is something to pray about. This is something to go for on a daily basis. Another aspect of her life, of her situation, is that her repentance demands an attitude of humility. You can't repent without humility. Humility is so important. If you're not humble, God can work in you, because you're going to fight Him all the time. She came in. She came in and she didn't care what people were saying about her. She went straight to Jesus. She didn't have any pride in her. She started crying, and she grabbed her hair and started drying His feet with her hair. I mean, your hair. You're always taking care of your hair. You're always polishing your hair. You're always doing great things to your hair to make you look prettier. She didn't care. She didn't have that pride in her at that time. She was like Jesus, and He was drying His feet with her hair. She didn't take a napkin out of her pocket, or, well, let me do it with this, or your feet are dirty, nothing. She was doing it with her own hair. That shows humility. A lot of times we're just so prideful. We're so prideful to let God in, to let other sisters in. We think we know it all. We think that there's no need for advice. There's no need to be open. We think that just, oh, you know what? I've done that. I know how to do that. And we fall short of humility. Humility is so important when we want to be right with God. We need to give Him first place. He is number one. And if you're not taking the Bible seriously and doing what it says, you're not being humble. It is all about you. And about you, it's just not going to take you to heaven. So she was a great example of humility. And remember when you became a disciple, when you got out of the water, and you were so excited and joyful, and you were like, yes, right before the baptism, you confessed all your sins. You were so excited about being open and telling them everything you did wrong, because you knew that was wrong, because I had put Jesus in the cross. Your attitude was so different when you were right before you became a disciple, right before you got baptized. And when you got baptized, it was like amazing. You were so joyful and you were sharing your faith with people and you were praying all the time at dinner time, breakfast, lunch, and it was at night and when you woke up. I mean, it was every time God was number one because your heart was right. Your heart was in the right place. And that humility is what keeps us at his feet. When we lose that humility, then we start going away from Jesus. So Jesus needs to be your number one priority. You know, how are you doing in your humility? How is it going? Are you growing in humility? Because the minute we stop growing, we start dying. If you don't grow in humility and surrendering to God, you start dying spiritually. So how is it going in your life, in your walk with God? Are you really growing in humility? And that shows at home. It shows at your job. It shows in your discipling relationships. It shows in your relationship with your husband, how you look at him, how you talk to him. There's so many ways that your humility comes out in. So if we leave it unchecked, you are committing suicide, spiritual suicide. Because you're not thinking, wow, God is not honored. God is not glorified with my life. You're just thinking, man, I don't feel good about it. Well, I'm not doing that. You could go ahead and do it yourself because I don't want to. That attitude, that's not glorifying God. It's glorifying yourself. And at the end, it's really making you unhappy because you're going to get into a circle. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be like wondering, why am I not growing? Why is this not changing? Why is my marriage like this? Why my children are so disobedient? Why? Because you're not surrender. Because God is not your number one. So when you have to, when you want to do, or when you decide to have a godly repentance, surrendering and humility need to be there. There's another aspect of that I saw in her life. It was repentance demands an attitude of determination. You saw how determined she was? She's like, you're not allowed to be here. And she's like, I'm going in. She didn't say a word. She was going in because she knew that Jesus was inside. She knew that her forgiveness was in there, that her ticket to heaven was in there. She knew that anybody, she didn't care for what anybody said. She didn't care that these men were looking at her weird. She didn't care that that she was despised. I bet all the women in the town hated her. Because, oh, that's the woman. Be careful with her. She's the one that gets your husband away from you. She was the one that nobody wanted to talk to. She, imagine her. She was this depressed, miserable woman that knew that she was doing wrong, but somehow she was trapped in this sin and couldn't get out of it. And then she saw Jesus in that room. She knew he was there. He was like, I'm going to get there no matter what. Determination. Determination is when you're strongly motivated by something to do something. You're devoting full strength and concentration to something that you want to do. You don't just, oh yeah, whatever. Whenever I get to it, it's right there. I know he'll be in town. I'll go see him on Tuesday. But no, she didn't say that. She's like, I need to get to Jesus. I need to see him because he is my salvation. He is going to forgive me. I need to be right with God. So her determination is an example to us. Sometimes we're just lazy. Sometimes our laziness, our spiritual laziness, is bigger than our desire to please God. And when we do that, we are just killing ourselves spiritually again. We're not fighting. If we're not determined to be better every time, we're not fighting. We're just letting Satan win. We're just saying, go ahead, Satan, do whatever you want with my life because I'm just too lazy to work for this. Too much pain. I really don't want to do that. I don't want to do that extra phone call to get advice. I don't want to really go and confess the sins to this person. Why? I mean, it's just going to be a heartache. I don't want to go and give forgiveness. She hurt me. You know what I mean? There's so many things that we just rather not do because it's uncomfortable. When you think that way, you're hurting yourself. If you're being comfortable as a Christian, then you're not growing. If you feel like going to church Sunday and Thursday is enough, then you're not growing. You're not going to become that woman that Jesus says, I forgive you, because your heart is there. She didn't have to say a word. Notice that? She walked in. She started crying. She wiped his feet. Not even a word, but he knew that she was ready to repent. She was the right attitude of surrender, the right attitude of humility, and she was determined to give everything and to leave everything on the floor. She had her perfume, her little perfume. She kept kissing his feet, okay? They used to wear sandals. They were not like the cleanest feet ever. You know, he didn't go to the spa before that. He was walking in the street, and she was kissing his feet. And then she poured her perfume on his feet. She was determined. She was not going to be, she was serious about this. She was not going to let Jesus go by without her taking an opportunity of changing her life. So she saw him, and she went after him, even though she knew she was guilty, that she was bad, that she was a woman that nobody wanted to be like. And then how are we doing with our determination? Us here in this century, how are you being so determined to be right with God? Are you confessing your sins? Are you making sure that people know that you need help? Do you realize the things that are not like Jesus? And are you studying them out and making sure that those things are really changing in your character? If those things are not being part of your life, you're not going to grow. Determination is part of godly repentance. Godly repentance, I'm going to tell you that in a second. The Bible talks about godly repentance. It's in 2 Corinthians 7, 10 to 11. Let's go there. All right. I'm going to read on verse 10. Godly sorrow brings the repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point you have proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. This is godly repentance, and this is from the Bible. Earnestness, indignation, willingness to see justice done, longing. Is that how you go about on your daily lives? Seeing the things that are not like Jesus and going after Jesus. And going after Jesus for change. Praying. Being determined to go and ask for help. Being determined to go and confess the sins that are pulling you back. Because Satan attacks you in that way. He grabs all those, he knows what you're lacking. And he takes all those sins and pulls you back. Because he knows that that's how he gets you. Because you're not fighting. If you're not fighting, he's like, okay, I got her right there. Let me just keep on holding her back until we open our spiritual eyes and realize that Jesus died for us already. We don't need to go through this. We don't need to let him do all this stuff to us. Don't be a victim of Satan. But it all depends on you. It depends on your decisions on a daily basis. It's a continual grow. It never stops. You know how we come into the church and we're so excited And we're so happy, and we're so joyful, and we confessed about sleeping around, we confessed about stealing, we confessed about being disrespectful, being abusive. Sometimes we hit our children a little bit too much. We confess, lying. We confess our double standard of life that we used to live, and we're so eager to leave that behind. We confess all those sins. But then, as the years go by or the months go by, you don't talk about unforgiveness. What happened to that? Unforgiveness is a sin. What about selfishness? Those sins of the heart? Pride. Not the obvious things that we came into the kingdom saying, I did that. But how about gossiping? Self-reliance. You know, how about, I got more. Here's my paper. Okay. So how about all those things that we really don't fight for after a while? You know, we think that we're there already. Jealousy. You know, and then we start thinking, I'm okay. I've been a disciple for 15 years. I know this. I know how to do. But what about the anger that you show when your husband tells you something to do? Or your coworker or your boss? How about that sin? We think that because we confess the bigger stuff in our head, we don't have to deal with the little things in our heart. And those are the things that will destroy you little by little, because you leave him unchecked. So when we have godly repentance, we can stop growing. We need to push with perseverance. We need to push with determination. You know, not letting anything stand in your way. And that takes a lot of prayer. It's not easy, but it takes a lot of prayer, and is what we supposed to do. As disciples, we are supposed to make God look good, because he's given us salvation. In Revelations, God says, repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. It's not an option. Repentance is not an option. Repentance is something that God wants you to do, to recognize your sins, to come to him and ask him to forgive you and to change you, to recognize who you are before God and to allow him to fill you up with good things, taking out the bad things and fill you in with patience, with kindness, with respect, with self-control, with humility. All this stuff, we need to allow God to work in our lives. But it is hard. I'm not going to tell you, well, it's easy. No, it is hard. But if you want it, you go after it.
Right.
If you see the value of being a Christian, if you see the value of going, being right with God and going to heaven one day, you'll work for it. It's worth it. You know what? If you don't work on those things, you know who's going to suffer? You do. Your family will, your coworkers will, your children's children will. There is a lot of people that will be affected by your lack of repentance. Repentance is very important in a walk with God. Think about this. Repentance is more than saying sorry. Repentance is an action. It starts in your mind. It starts you start making decisions when it comes about pleasing God. Your mind changes, and therefore your actions will follow. Repentance demands a change at a character level. You have to change your character. It is just not a word we say. Oh, I'm sorry. No. It really has to be felt from your heart. It has to be a mind change, something that stays. You know that sometimes we say something and then we go back? No, it has to be something that you really go after and stay. stay there. It has to be a character change. But it all comes from your submission to God. You don't want to play church. I mean, there's no point in getting out of bondage of sin and going into bondage to a worthless religion. You know what I mean? You have to look at this higher. You were into sin before. God saved you. Why stay in that bondage again, living a life of religiosity? You know what I mean? We have to take it higher. We need to see what it is that we don't have that we need to be like. We need to compare ourselves to Jesus. Religion that doesn't have any self-denial is worthless. We have to deny ourselves. And you know what? We think it's so hard and, oh my gosh, it's pain and this and suffering. But it's worth it. We're joyful after we become something that we want to be. Once we beat that particular character flaw that you have, you are happier. It shows. People are like, you are different now. What is it with you? You used to be like this and now you're like that. What happened in your life? What changed you? Let me know. I remember when my husband was so excited the day we found out we got this job, he got out of the car, he went into his office, he was so excited all day. By the time he had to go home, he didn't find his keys, the car keys. He was like, wow, where are they? He didn't get angry, he didn't get upset, he didn't start screaming, he didn't throw things around. He was like, oh, my keys, where are my keys? And then a coworker passed by. He's like, bro, you're not angry. What happened? You're so cool. You know, you're not flying, you know, doing all that stuff that normally people would do. He's like, no, bro, I lost my key. I don't know where it is. Let me go check my car. Well, he had left the car on all day long with the keys in the ignition, and the car was on. It didn't die, thank God. But the man saw him and he says, wow, I want to be like you. Literally, he says, I want to be like you. Why didn't you get angry? And he just started smiling, and he knew what it was. And I don't know if he shared his faith that day with that man or if he already knew, but there was something different about John because Jesus was Lord. You know what I mean? When Jesus is Lord in your life, you're different. You're joyful. You want to change. Even if you go through suffering, even if it's going to cost you a little pain, but you're going to take captive everything that's going to hinder you and go for it because it's good, because it's what God wants you to do. So, now time flies. To have a godly repentance, sisters, just remember God. He gave it all. Jesus gave it all. He gave up his throne. He left heaven for you. He came and suffered here immensely. He gave up his divinity for a while. He suffered like a human being. And he suffered pain, emotional, humility. He suffered so much. Because he wanted us to be better. He wanted us to go to heaven. If he suffered that much, what excuse do we have? You know what I mean? It's just going to make us better. So you have to work on your godly repentance. Don't let it be worldly because you're wasting your time. Just look at the consequences. Think of it. Think of the things that are going to happen from your lack of repentance. And if you have children, your children are watching. If you have students, your students are watching. If you have parents, they're watching. You know, everybody's watching the Christian. What is the Christian going to do? She says she loves God. Let's see what she's going to do. They're going to learn to love God through you, or they're going to love to stay away from God because of you. So let's take this really high. Let's take this call to repentance really high. When you repent, you need to have an attitude of surrender, an attitude of humility, in an attitude of determination. Amen. Amen.